Hello, this is Sharina from Lighted Path, sharing wisdom from the Bible to light your path. Today, we are going to talk about the God of the Old Testament, how Isaiah unpacks who God is. Recently, I read of a well-known pastor of a large church that was quoted saying that we didn't need the Old Testament, that we needed to concentrate on the New Testament. Have you heard that? Here is a link to one article if you want to read about it. How could we know the character of God without the Old Testament? Or how could we fully experience God's mercy without it? The New Testament is based on the Old Testament laws and prophets. Jesus, as well as the apostles, quoted many times from the Old Testament. They seem to find it essential. So I thought I would see what the Old Testament had to say about God, us, and His plans. Will you join me each week as I try to look at most of the Old Testament books, taking one book per week to share what the Bible has to say? I hope you gain wisdom for your journey. So far, that is my plan, in no particular order. So we're going to start with Isaiah. Isaiah 1:4 says, "Alas, sinful nation, the people laden with iniquity, they have provoked to anger the Holy One of Israel." Oh, okay. Isaiah 2:12-17, "For the day of the Lord of hosts shall come upon everything proud and lofty, upon everything lifted up, and it shall be brought low." And it goes on all the way through this, "The loftiness of man shall be bowed down, and the haughtiness of man shall be brought low. The Lord alone will be exalted in that day." Okay, let's take a look at Isaiah 6:1-8. "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one cried to another and said, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory.' And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. So I said, 'Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts.' Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken from the tongs of the altar. And he touched my mouth with it and said, 'Behold, this has touched your lips, and your iniquity is taken away, and your sin is purged.' Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?' Then I said, 'Here am I. Send me.'" Isaiah 7:14 says, "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." God promises a redeemer. And in 9:6-7, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." That's the promise of a Messiah also. What is 12:3 say? "Therefore with joy will you draw water from the wells of salvation." There is joy in salvation. In chapter 24, he talks about God will bring judgment on all who transgress his laws. But in chapter 26, verse 3, it says, "You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you." 29:15, that says, "Woe to those who seek deep to hide their counsel far from the Lord, and their works are in the dark. They say, 'Who sees us? And who knows us?'" Okay, so God sees all. How about 30:15? I can find that real fast here. 30:15. For thus says the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest you shall be saved. In quietness and confidence shall be your strength. And then it finishes, but you would not. How sad. Isaiah 37 talks about Hezekiah's prayer to the Lord when they were in desperate need of his protection and deliverance from their enemy. Isaiah 40:12-31, we see how big God is and how he provides for us in our daily walk. And 41:4 says, I am the Lord. I, the Lord, am the first, and with the last, I am he. God is the first and the last. And 43:11, I, even I, am the Lord, and besides me there is no Savior. Oh, 43:25, I, even I, am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake. And I will not remember your sins. What a promise. That is so awesome. And all of chapter 45 talks about how he alone is God. And 49 talks about how he cannot forget his own. How about 55:88-9? We all have heard this, I'm sure. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Wow. Yes. In all of our wisdom, we think we're so smart. Yeah. In 59, it gives us a possible reason for unanswered prayer. Chapter 64, verse 4. That tells us, for since the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, nor has the eye even seen any God besides you, who acts for those, the one who waits for him. So if we wait on God, he will act for us. After viewing this list, do you want to do away with reading Isaiah? I encourage you to read it. All of Isaiah, and maybe use a study guide called Simple Bible Lessons for You. There's a link here. Or if you want a workbook, you can find the same lessons in my Bible reading study guide through this link at Amazon. Here's words to light your path this week. Isaiah 61:10 says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. Much to think about this week. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, help us to not listen to those who would take us away from the Old Testament. For there is much to learn about you and who we are without you. And your plans for us, and the good plans you have for us. Help us to be students of your word. Learn for ourselves who you are. Amen. Have a blessed week.